Okay, welcome to episode 52 of Lil Muck. This is a tiny slice of the Muck podcast where we talk to people in the media and politics about their favorite stories or experiences. I'm Hillary Dougherty, and Tina's not here, but we are going to carry on without her today because we are interviewing Jaden D'Onofrio, who is the chairman of the Florida Future Leaders PAC. He is back home on spring break, and he said, "What's up? Let's talk." And I said, "Okay, let's do it." And so I wanted to say first, I listened to your episode. You were first on our podcast. It was in November of 2022. And when I think about everything that has happened since then, because when you listen to that episode, we talk about where the hell was the Florida party.
Yep.
Manny Diaz was still the chair at the time. Yep. I even asked on there, has Manny Diaz popped his head up yet? Because he still was nowhere to be found. And since then, you know, that was right after the 2022 midterms and DeSantis won by a landslide. He has now run for president and been taken, lost that, you know, walked away from
miserably.
That campaign, miserably Trump wiped the floor with him. And we have a new, of course, chair, Nikki Fried. And I mean, a lot's changed with you too. Now we have this Florida Futures Pack. I'm anxious to talk about that. But really just like, how are you? Our Broward boy is home.
Thanks for having me,
You're
Hillary.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you know, back for spring break. Not really a spring break for me, but
yeah.
Living life. Happy to be back in Broward.
Mm-hmm.
I've missed it. The weather is much hotter here than Tallahassee. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, living life and happy to be back.
Good.
You know?
You're staying busy.
That's how, you know, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. I mean, look, there's so many things that we have to do. I know you just mentioned November 2022. That feels like an eternity.
I know. Isn't it?
It's like, I can't believe how much has gone on since then.
It's crazy.
That was like, actually, November 2022 was the first time I got involved with the state party and the county party.
Jeez.
You know? So it feels like forever ago.
Yeah. I remember that meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. That is like,
that was one of my favorite meetings.
Yeah.
Times. So, but also how much.
You're making me feel old, by the way.
I know.
You know, this is the first time I feel old. I'm 19. You're making
really
me feel ass old now.
Now that
it's
makes
messed
me,
up, Hillary.
That makes me feel old. Don't talk about how old you are. But it's crazy that things can change so quickly. And we've gone through now, too, a legislative session since you were last here. This last session was okay. I'm interested to hear, like, what you thought was the best or the worst bills that went through. But for the most part, we kind of walked away a little bit unscathed here.
It was
a lot
better than the past.
Think about, like abortion kind of was off the table. I mean, really just like waiting for the Supreme Court to give it, the Florida Supreme Court to give us that decision. But how much were you paying attention? I mean, you were there. You were in Tallahassee. Were you at the legislative offices? Were you involved in any of it?
Yeah, you know, it's quite easy. I literally live like a few blocks from the Capitol, so it's just a walk over for me, and I'm there, you know, shitting on these people all day long, you know? So
as it should be.
That's how it's got to be. Hey, that's open government right there. Represent, you know? So I would pop my head in on some bills. I think, you know, there was a number of bills that were in the legislature that were just awful, right? And we see that every session. I want to say, though, that this session was much better than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
But I think that's directly a result of the failure of DeSantis and his presidential run.
Agree,
you know, he
yes.
came back wildly, you know, less popular than what he was before, which is beautiful for us and beautiful for our legislation, for our state. Although there were still bills that, you know, we could look at and say, what the hell was happening there?
Right.
One bill in particular that I gave testimony on was House Bill 1223. That was the bill that tried to basically allow for 18-year-olds to own assault rifles again, which is a bill that they passed after the massacre at MSD. You know, I was a student in my English class, seventh grade, sitting in Indian Ridge Middle School when I got the notification that there had been a shooting at Parkland, which is 15 minutes away of where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting that notification in the middle of class. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
You know, as a middle schooler.
So scary.
I'm not even there. Imagine what the people feel like that are actually there, you know? And I think I always carried that with me, and that formed my stance on, you know, how I feel about gun violence right now and, you know, probably for the rest of my life. So that was a bill that was awful. I think another bill, you know, House Bill 49 in its original version was essentially child labor laws trying to roll that back. What are we doing in this state?
I don't know.
We've had those laws since like the 1920s, probably even maybe since the Industrial Revolution. You know?
It's so bizarre. A lot of it, too, is these laws won't apply to homeschool children. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, what? And the guy who actually, the rep that was pushing it, was like, I worked as a kid. I was fine. He was also homeschooled. Like, he didn't have the, you know, the limitations of having to be at school all day and then work until 11 o'clock at night. It's impossible. And families need that money, so kids will be working. Yeah. Like, that will be a real thing that happens to these families.
There's also, it seems like, a real attempt to make the kids dumber as well. You know? Yeah. I mean,
that's
like...
That's always the public... Let's decimate public schools.
Yeah, it's like, you know, let's ruin it with what we passed last session with the vouchers. And then also now... You know, putting the kids straight to work instead of trying to make a better education system for them seems wildly dumb. And then you mix that with HB1 banning social media, you know, for people under the age of 16. I mean, for example, for myself, I was always that kid that would read like all the history books in the libraries. I read every single one actually in my elementary school. And then when that happened, I ended up taking to like YouTube and like social media to watch videos about like, you know, what I cared about, which was like, you know, history, politics, government, stuff like that.
Right.
If you're banning that educational platform, you're just making kids dumber.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's obviously there is a real problem with certain platforms, right? There's certain things that are like, yeah, maybe there's, you know, not all content is good, but this is supposed to be the free state of Florida, and you're taking away parents' rights to monitor that. It's awful.
I thought that's what we were about. Yeah. I thought we liked parents' rights.
We're not, Hillary.
It's crazy.
No, we're not.
I don't understand
it. We're not cool with it.
And every time I turn around, they're changing it. Now it's only certain social media sites are going to be banned. You know what? I can't keep up.
Yeah.
It's foolishness.
Yes.
But also, where are we going that we want kids to be working like this? Like, there were reasons why child labor laws existed. Like, where's
apparently
even,
not. You know, we need them working on the roofs. Yeah. We need them working, you know, out in the sun all day.
Yeah.
I mean, we also, the legislature passed a bill to, like, ban, they preempted, like, what is it? Like,
providing shade or water to your workers. Yeah. Like, it's not required.
So we're just, like, rolling back everything at this point.
Fuck everybody.
Screw them, dude. Yeah. If you're not working in the legislature, we don't care about you. Just get to
work.
Could
you imagine you bring a bill to the Speaker of the House? He's like, how much damage can we do, though, to people? Does this do enough damage? Because
we need a little bit more.
Yeah. Are kids going to be injured at the meatpacking plant? Wait, I don't want it. You know? I mean, it's a crazy time. A slap in the face to the families and the victims at Marjory Stoneman Douglas. Yeah. I mean, I'll never forget. I think the most they do up there now is light up the building in remembrance of that horrible, tragic day.
Yeah.
The least they could do is try to keep the laws that they barely gave us all those years ago, you know, in reaction to that.
You know, what was so awful about it, too, is like literally the day it was introduced, I think it was literally like a week before the anniversary, the 6-year anniversary of it.
Yeah.
And that's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful. I mean, awful legislation. But, like, dude, what are we doing, man?
The same day, I think it was on the cover of this, the front page of Sun Sentinel, was they were talking about that bill. And then right next to it, a kid had taken a gun out of school in Ohio and killed some of his fellow students. Mm. Like, side by side.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't think it's important. I mean, I knew the things that I was looking for. I was looking for homeowners insurance relief. Like, was there anything that you think particularly affected youth? Do you think it's a social media bill? Is that something that the young leaders in our state were interested in?
I think there was I try and tell people this every session, that if you look at the past few legislative sessions, they largely target one demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on youth with this legislation that we see. And that was no different this session either. I mean, literally the trademark bill was HB1, you know, banning social media for those under the age of 16. I can't really think off the top of my head of anything that I'm like, oh, that was a great bill for young people. I mean, I would say, you know, one is like probably an unpopular bill for young people, but it's actually a good one, was Senator Pizzo passing. He passed a bill that was banning like road racing, essentially.
Mm.
But that's like, you know, there was nothing like actually of substance in the legislature that was like something young people are calling for.
Right.
That is going to make a difference in our lives. That's the unfortunate part.
It's funny, too. I think we're so shell-shocked when we pay attention to Florida politics that you're like, whew, we got out of the session in one piece, right? Yeah. I mean, you're just waiting for and when the session ended, I was like, really, there's not going to be another thing that's coming? Because they always love to sneak something in at the last minute. So that was a relief. But now we're back in election season. We have a presidential election coming up.
Yeah.
We have a set, like you had mentioned, you're at a fundraiser, and we have a U.S. Senate seat on the line. Any particular races you're interested in or you're watching?
I got a good amount. First off, we have a primary here in Broward County for Senator Book's district since she's terming out.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a primary, so that's party side. I think, with our PAC, we're really focused on Senate District 3, which is up in Tallahassee, House District 37, which is in Orlando that has UCF in it, and House District 91. We have a great candidate in Jay Schuster trying to take out Peggy Gossett Seidman. And they have FAU in the district. So
is that Broward and Palm Beach or just Palm Beach?
Just Palm Beach. Okay. That's really Boca. And those are three districts that I'm really looking at the most. Really, you know, big flippable opportunities. I know we have one down in Miami-Dade with Joe Saunders running. I want to say that's 113. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got a lot going on. You know, the beauty of it, I think we say this every election, but this is literally, this is like, we can't. This is no going any lower. Like, we cannot do any worse than we did in 2022. Like, that's it. That's it.
It's so true.
It's it.
And I implore you, if you're listening to this and you're a fan of Jaden or this podcast, please go back and listen to when he was on, because we are so fresh off of those losses on that podcast. Like, it's still November and we're so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so frustrating. We had a terrible governor candidate in Charlie Crist. Sorry, but like 20 points is insane. And like, I don't know how nobody saw that coming, but we were so angry and just looking for like, where is this? What the fuck is going on here? I don't know. It's March 2024. It's brewing, but we are not in the heat of this yet, but it's coming. It'll be here before we know it. And I would love to see Rick Scott out of that seat. I don't know if we can out fundraise him. We never probably will be able to, but how you can't point at that man, the things he wants to dismantle, the things he wants to take away, Social Security.
Yeah.
How could she not beat him? Right.
I think, look, we have a real opportunity, a real shot. Not only is, I think, Debbie a great candidate, I also see, you know, what we're going to see on the ballot, you know, with reproductive freedom likely to be on the ballot.
Yes, it's going to bring people out.
Recreational marijuana.
Absolutely.
Likely to be on the ballot. I think those are two really major issues for all demographics, but especially young people.
Yeah.
And I think young people, you know, people view young voters as like this demographic that they can never reach and turn out in mass, right? And if they do, they're voting Democrat largely.
Absolutely.
By a massive amount compared to other demographics. Mm-hmm. And if you turn them out, that's a serious win for Democrats. I think I remember Obama saying years ago, like, you know, young voters, youth voters are like the key to the Democrats' future. Like, that's it. That's what it comes down to. Because if they can turn that out, if they can procure that base, Republicans can't compete. Mm-hmm. You know, young people, young voters, youth voters like myself, college students, we're not supportive of the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supportive of any of their legislation oftentimes. We're not supportive of their dangerous rhetoric. But we've also been failed by the Democrats in being outreached to.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people my age are registering as NPAs. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to bridge that gap. And I think it starts with that youth organizing youth.
Yeah, so let's get into this. So you just founded this PAC.
Yeah.
Tell me about what it does, what it's for, what was the inspiration to start it?
Yeah.
And I'd also like to know who else is involved with, like, who are your fellow on your board with you?
Yeah, I don't know if I went into this on the on our first episode, but I didn't. I know I didn't because it didn't happen then. But so when we were having the FDP chair election.
Okay, now I remember. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember what,
when we were having the FDP chair election, I was in support of, I was actually in support of Annette Tadeo to become the chair.
Right.
And I was trying to gather all the youth to get behind her. They were all really supportive. I had actually learned through that process that there was the existence of the Florida High School Democrats and the Florida College Democrats.
Oh my goodness.
I learned of the existence of it. I'm putting up air quotes right now.
As a senior in high school, like, you're almost out now. Here's this thing.
Yeah. I'm learning that it exists, which means basically for anyone listening, they were you know, barely doing
There's
anything.
A title somewhere of this caucus, but
there was nothing happening.
Ghost town. Yeah, tumbleweed.
And so I learned who was leading the caucuses, and they had a vote in the chair election, each one. And I ended up calling them, and I said, look, you know, all these young people, all these young activists, organizers are behind Annette Tadeo right now to become the chair. And we'd love to have your support as the caucus. And they were like, well, we'd love to. We don't know how to vote in the chair election, first off. Second off, you're the first person, Jayden,
you're the first person
to ever call us from the Florida Democratic Party.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, that's insane. I'm also not a part of the Florida Democratic Party, so I'm not your first.
I mean, it's insane, but also that's on brand.
Yes.
We're on brand, okay?
Yes. So when I had learned that, I was like, all right, that's it. That's game over for that. There needs to be change. And I now know fully, you know, I think I said this on that first episode. I told myself for a long time, I'm not going to get in the state party. I'm not going to get in the county party.
Yeah.
I don't want to touch it.
Yeah.
But after the election, I was like, fuck it. I got to get in there.
Yeah.
I got to do something about, you know, especially the youth side.
Yeah.
And when they had told me that on the phone, both of them, by the way, both different caucus heads told me the exact same sentence, basically. And I was like, all right, things need to change on that front. And I set out on this like year and a half plan of how we can revamp youth organizing, youth leadership, youth opportunities, and making sure youth have a seat at the table. And, you know, after Annette lost her chair election to Nikki Fried, who is our current chair, you know, I made sure to try and fix things with Nikki to make sure that, look, I really don't give a fuck at the end of the day. I just want to make sure we get work done,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, Nikki's on that same side of
which is
thinking.
How it should be, right?
It's just absolutely. What it needs
Who
to
won?
Be.
Let's get on board.
Let's
okay,
do it.
Great.
And, you know, we had set up some talking about how, you know, what needs to be done for youth organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And our first step was creating the Florida Democratic Party Youth Council, which I was the inaugural chair of. And, you know, we got a lot done. We got a lot. We were able to fix the party infrastructure and making
Amazing.
Sure young people were involved, right?
Come on.
And so after that, you know, after doing that for a long time, about a year, I felt comfortable enough that we were at a point where we can really make some real change. And that was when I said, let's start the process of creating a PAC for the Florida High School Democrats and the Florida College Democrats. First time there's ever been a joint PAC. And, you know, I made sure that we had the right leaders in the right positions
nice.
For all of this.
Yeah.
And right now we have Rhea Mignar as the president of the Florida High School Democrats. Alexis Dorman is the president of the Florida College Democrats. I came to them. I said, look, we need to do this. This is the way we promote sustainability. This is the way we make sure that the right leaders take out, you know, your positions when
yes.
you're done.
High schools are moving up. They can move up. To
yeah.
These, yeah.
And
Amazing.
We need that joint pipeline to yeah. make sure that, you know, high schoolers, when they graduate, they go right into college, you know, and they're making sure that they're organizing in college too. And, you know, once that conversation happened, you know, there was a lot of support, obviously. And we ended up announcing it in January. Raised $20,000 in our first 24 hours.
Oh, my God.
$100,000 in our first month. And we're still pushing forward, you know?
So you have more money than some caucuses in the state. Some county caucuses,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Hey.
Can I get a 20?
Hey, you know, look, we got to do what we got to do, you know. And
so
and
now you got, this is fantastic, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Amazing effort and... you know, this is incredible. I'm sure you know that. What do you do now? What happens now? What are your goals in this election cycle? And are there issues you want to focus on? Are you focusing on candidates because it's an election year? And yeah,
yeah.
I read on your, I believe on your website that you're hiring staff. Like, have you
oh,
hired
yeah.
staff? Like,
oh,
you're
yeah.
a fully functioning.
Yeah, we're running it. We're going straight into
look
it.
Look at this.
We're going straight
look,
into
look
it.
At you, look
yeah.
at you. Look,
look
at you.
Look, I mean, look, the biggest thing, there has been no statewide youth organizing
right.
in our state's history
right.
for Democrats.
And we're talking about a couple thousand votes from registered youth Democrats in a district could flip that seat.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
Carlos Guillermo Smith, House District 37.
Yes.
He lost his election by 2,000 votes. There was 11,000 registered 18 to 29-year-olds who did not vote in that election.
I mean, look at this.
That's an automatic flip.
Yeah. Quick, very
automatic.
Quick. Yeah.
So, you know, look, the other thing, part of it was I wasn't confident that the state party was going to have all the resources it needed mm-hmm. to fund youth organizing.
Yeah.
And I think you know me as someone who says, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And that's what it was, you know. And so when I see a problem that needs to be fixed, especially for youth, I'm going to get in there. And that's what we did. And with, you know, with all that money we're raising, you know, we're hiring staff immediately. We're hiring, you know, we have an executive director. We have a deputy executive director. We have campus organizers because that's how we're going to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
We're giving paid opportunities to young people yeah. to get in there and organize other young people.
Yeah.
And so the biggest way is through hiring those campus organizers on the campuses. We're giving opportunities to people that are literally living where they are organizing, right? They're organizing young people that they're friends with. That relational organizing is so critical and so key, and that's what we're going to be able to do at all these campuses. And so while, yes, we're a statewide effort, we have our strategic, you know, locations of where we're really trying to hammer down, and that's FSU, that's FAMU, that's TCC, that's UCF, and FAU. You know, those three districts that those colleges are in are critical to making sure, A, you know, we take back, get out of the super minority in the state house, and also taking back a Senate seat that we lost in the last election cycle because of, you know, first off, Democrats were really outspent in that district. And also the youth turnout was awful because there wasn't an actual turnout program.
You're talking about the Carl Guillermo Smith seat, the one he's running
that
for?
That was House District 37. The main one I'm referring to now is Senate District 3, which is up in Tallahassee.
Okay, right, okay.
That has Corey Simon in it. And that was Lorraine Osley, who was running it in the last cycle. And so, you know, we have to bridge that gap. And that's by hiring those organizers. But we also, it's not only just having paid staff, it's also having the strategies with that staff. And so, you know, one of the things that has just gotten lots of love is I placed an order about a month ago for 2,500 custom condoms to distribute on college campuses. And the condoms...
I'm blushing. I'm, hold on.
And the condoms have a message on them, and they say, don't get fucked by the GOP. Vote Democrat. Yep. So...
this is amazing.
You know, we have things like that. And another thing, I purchased... 1,250 rolling papers to distribute that say,
I love Tallahassee.
You know, we're putting up, there you go. We're putting up stickers on them that say, roll up to the polls, you know, with the rolling papers to raise awareness, you know, with the condoms, to raise awareness around, you know, the right to choice being on the ballot.
Absolutely.
The rolling papers to raise awareness around the marijuana.
What are you, a marketing genius? This is incredible. This is incredible shit. This is what the state party should be doing. They should be getting, using these ideas. I mean, come on.
This is what happens when you get young people in there to come up with new ideas and you know, breed fresh blood.
But it's besides that, it's young people who are not going to a non-young person and saying, what do you think about this idea? Should we do it? Can we do it? Do we have the funding? Yep. Y'all have nobody to answer to.
Correct.
And so you're able
to... We're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
What we know works. Yeah. There's no limits to it.
Right.
Right?
But it's also because it's targeting you and your age group.
Correct.
You know how best to target them.
Correct.
And so you know, I mean, it's
no
brilliant.
One can tell us otherwise, right? The only people that I really have to answer to is the donors. I have to make sure that we raise the money to do these things.
I can only imagine the hoops you'd have to jump through at any other state caucus to say, hey, we want to give out condoms to say, don't get fucked by the GOP. They'd be like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
What will they write in the paper?
Oh,
no
yeah.
one's going to do that. You
oh,
guys
yeah.
can do whatever. It's it's incredible.
It goes right back to me.
It's like a new frontier. It's like Star Trek.
Yeah.
You're on a new frontier. You can do whatever you want. It's incredible. And also to fill in where you see this vacuum of no one's paying attention because it's so important because there is not a minute that is not should be wasted. There's no minute that should be wasted.
Gotta get right to it.
At any time, not even just an election year. We always should be focusing and thinking about how we're getting to the next thing because that's how year after year we're going to chip away with from the GOP stronghold that they have.
But it should be year-round organizing, right?
Yeah.
No matter what, if it's a cycle, an on-cycle year, an off-cycle year, there was none of that last year for youth organizing because there was no resources.
Right.
And so, you know, this pack that we created, it's been so successful because I'm not only preaching that we're going to do all this work in the election year, but this is something that's going to exist for years to come.
Right.
I'm 19. I have many more years as the chairman of this PAC
yeah.
to raise money for it and to direct the organizing for it. I'm really hopeful for the 2026 gubernatorial race. I really see what we're doing now as something that sets the groundwork for what can be done in that race.
Absolutely.
If we end up flipping those three districts, or even two or one of those districts, the amount of money that I'm going to be able to bring forward for the gubernatorial race is going to be a completely different world than what I'm being able to get right now. And so that brings new frontiers for, you know, I mean, I am 99% sure Matt Gaetz is going to be the nominee for the Republicans.
Oh, oh.
And
hold on, I need to get some alcohol. I know. I can't.
Start pouring it for me, too.
This is crazy.
So, you know, with him being the nominee, most likely, in my opinion, we have a real shot at flipping the state blue in 2026. Especially with the people that,
I just,
you know,
want the governor's. If we get the governor's mansion, we could be okay.
Yeah.
We would be okay if we could just get that one seat.
Yeah.
I mean, also, the GOP here in Florida and really nationally, they kind of do all the legwork for us. They are interested in things that are backwards and not progressive.
But we don't message on it. That's the problem.
No, we don't.
We're terrible at messaging.
That's what I mean. They're doing the heavy lifting. Yeah. We just need to just go.
Get out there.
Yeah, here's what they just said. Yeah. Here's what I saw a poll recently where it said like 45% of Americans don't think Trump had anything to do with Roe v. Wade being overturned. I'm like, had they seen him say that over and over and over again, how is that possible?
Yep.
But like, there's got to be a way to sell those messages,
the
messaging, because they're really doing so much damage here.
It comes down to meeting people where they are.
Mm.
When have we ever seen the party on the college campuses in the past? Never.
No, I mean, the only thing I know is that Anna Eskamani has a group, the Power People,
People Power for Florida,
and they—that's not
elected.
Party. That's a PAC
one
too,
elected.
As well.
Yeah, but and you know what? I think of another elected. I think of Jason Pizzo, who Senator Pizzo went.
He
to
did that
all
amazing
these
talking tour last
there
year.
You go.
That was incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and that's a perfect example of electeds meeting people where they are.
Yeah,
and it's not just about the college campuses. For example, if we're talking about seniors, you would want to go to a senior living home to meet seniors, right? Like.
Right.
When are we seeing our party doing that besides the few electeds that know what they're doing, the
right.
Senator Pizzos of the world?
Right.
You know, that's where we need to bridge that gap. And we need to make sure that the party is actually actively out there. And I think it's been much better now than what we've seen in the past. I think we have a ways to go still. But it's progress nonetheless.
I mean, politics is so dominated now by these older generations we see on the national level. We have folks who just don't want to leave. On both sides of the aisle. So how do we empower young people to participate in that process, but also even run for office? Or like, how do we do that? Is it issue based? Like we're, like you said, on the ballot, we're going to have abortion rights. We're going to have marijuana. So is that how you think we can get them focused? Is an issue that directly impacts them?
I think for getting young people out to vote, it's the issues that are going to matter the most. It's not going to be necessarily the candidate unless you have some, you know, random person who's literally like just energized to all, you know, hell, and they're young, you know. I think for getting young people to run for office, there's a lot of times where people are, you know, young people especially are promised resources and it doesn't come. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen that many times in the last few months as the chairman of the PAC, where I have people promising things and it doesn't come, you know. And it's from people that you would otherwise expect to really follow through.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, things like that, that hurts.
Yeah.
That really, it hurts the motivation. It hurts your want to keep going on, you know, what you're trying to get done. But there's other times where you have people come through that completely alter your landscape and really, you know, push forward. So being there for the young people when they're running for office, I think means a lot. I know one person out here who's running for office, Emily Rodriguez. She's running for state house.
Yeah,
you know, that's a great candidate, a young candidate, a Gen Z, if I am correct on that. And, you know, that's the type of people that we need to show up for and make sure that, A, we're not only giving them the resources, but if we can't give them any more resources, are we on the ground canvassing for them? Are we phone banking for them at the very least? Are we doing something that shows, yes, we want a young person involved? Are we also not actively shunning them out? You know, I've had many times in the state party where I've been shunned out of certain things. And that's unfortunate. And I'm someone who has a lot more publicity behind me than any other, you know, young person, which means that there's probably a lot more times where other people are shunned out.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not even known, you know, and that's the unfortunate part. So making sure young people have a seat at the table, making sure that their voices actually matter to those who are sitting there trying to listen. You know, we have to hear out the issues and make sure that their concerns are heard out and that the resources are being put for them. That's the biggest thing that I'm trying to preach with our PAC. give us the resources, we'll do the job.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down
to. So how are you going to determine who you support? Like you had mentioned these three races you want to focus on. Is that what you're going to do? Are you going to, let me ask you something. If a candidate isn't on board with one issue, would you even like, is there a certain list of issues they have to be this kind of progressive? Or are there just youth issues that you know that they're going to vote the right way and that's what we get?
Look, I think the beauty of it, those three districts that we care about the most, you know, in the Orlando district, Carlos Guillermo Smithville district, we have a Gen Zer actually running in that seat with Nate Douglas. So, you know, he's someone who knows the issues personally as a Gen Zer. I think with Jay Schuster, he's a great candidate who's also young. He's not a Gen Zer, but he's also very young. He's probably one of the youngest in the state for candidates.
Yeah.
And I know him personally. He's a good friend of mine
who
he knows the issues because he's willing to hear out anyone. You know, and let's say I disagree with him on an issue. I know for a fact that he's going to sit there and listen to me on it.
Right.
You know, and that's what really matters the most. I can sit here with any senator and go, you know, back and forth on the issues. But if they're not listening to me, then that's a whole different ballgame. But I know for a fact that if I sit with Senator Pizzo on why I disagree with him on something, he's going to sit there and listen.
Right.
You know, and that's what we really want to see the most, I think. With Senate District 3, you know, we're yet to see who, you know, there, you know, we have a few candidates in the primary. We'll see who comes out of that. But, you know, if there, I think there's a real three main issues that young people really care about the most. One is the affordability crisis in the state. You know, cost of living is very high right now, and the governor's done nothing to do it, to confront it. I think young people really care about that. Based off of our poll, we did a poll that had that number one. Number two was the right to abortion in this state. And with us seeing on that on the ballot, I don't think you can be a Democrat and not support that.
Right, I agreed.
So, you know, if anyone doesn't support that and they're a Democrat, they're not a Democrat.
Yeah,
I don't support them in that. I'm never going to support them. And then number three is gun violence, you know. And so I think it's important for our candidates to realize we're the generation that went through elementary school, middle school, and high school doing school shooting drills. We're the generation who knows people who've gotten shot or have been at a school that has people had shot, you know. Yeah. I know people personally, right, that literally in our community, Parkland.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, I think, if as a candidate, if you can't connect with young people on those three issues, I think you're in a world of hurt with young voters. But there's also a lot of them that don't think that young people turn out.
Right.
And they feed off of that. We see that with the Republicans.
I got to tell you, the last two major election cycles, how could you even begin to think that?
Yeah.
What we saw in November of 2022, we talked about on that last episode.
Yeah.
The way that wave of young voters that came out completely, it was a wave that flipped seats, that changed. It changed the landscape of that election.
If you remember.
And what was their response? They wanted to change the voting age, remember?
There you go. Yeah. And so, if you remember the last episode that I was on, I spoke a lot about how well Wisconsin did with turnout. Well, what happened was, after that, in a judicial election, Janet Protasiewicz, who's running for Supreme Court in Wisconsin, in an off-cycle election year, won her office being pro-choice simply because of youth voter turnout and youth voter support. She would not have won it if it wasn't for youth voters turning out. And that goes to show what youth organizing can do year-round in an off-cycle year and in a cycle year to change the landscape.
Yeah.
And we have to bring that here in Florida. We're behind on doing that. We're behind Wisconsin. We're behind Michigan. We're behind Georgia. We have to catch up. And it's by letting youth lead youth. And that's what we're doing with the PAC to make things happen.
It's incredible. It's inspiring. Look at you.
I appreciate it.
Look at you, kid.
We got work to do.
Huh?
We got work to do.
You're all grown up, and you're all grown up. What are we going to do?
Hey, I came on the first episode shitting on everything. Might as well do something.
Listen, I'm still shitting on everything. I'm not doing anything. At least I'm so proud that you've done this. It's incredible. I know that I'm sure that you're proud of the work that you're doing. I hope that you are. I hope you know how important it is. We really, really need it. I mean, it's such an... From when I was in high school, all you heard about was youth vote, youth vote. Like, it's time. It's beyond time. And if the GOP is going to do us a favor by taking all these rights away to get these kids to come out, let's go.
Yep.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's get Biden reelected, please.
Yeah.
And
hey, his State of the Union was nice. I think that provided a bolster.
I was there for this.
Really good.
Incredible.
Yeah. You know, I think fundraising numbers show that. you know.
Hey, listen, I gave money for the first time ever to Joe Biden the next day. I was like, I'm going in. I got a major crush on Dark Brandon, I have to tell you.
I
love how sassy he is on Twitter. I'm here for it.
Get that.
Tell us how people can get involved, where can they go to donate, how they can be volunteers for your PAC and the work that you're doing.
First off, www.floridafutureleaders.com.
Nice.
Plug a donation there. Would appreciate
that. Let's do it.
The biggest thing, we want to see people on the campuses, right? I keep saying youth organizing youth, but that doesn't mean we're leaving anyone out to do the organizing. If you want to come on the campuses with us to organize, by all means, join us, right? We want you there. We welcome you. You can pass out the custom condoms and the rolling papers with us.
I mean, the very
Why
least.
Why not?
Yeah,
you know?
That sounds fun.
And you
fun.
Can take one home if you want. You know? Why not?
No judgments
Get
here.
Get you going.
Florida
you know?
Future.
Why not? So we accept everyone. Yeah. You know, we're equal people here, okay? We're not the GOP.
Hillary, 5 condoms. That's it. Put the rest back, Hillary.
Don't, you can't take 10. You can't take 10, Hillary. You have
so,
a limit.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. So, you know, you can visit our website, www.floridafutureleaders.com. We have actually, you can contact us through there as well to hear about the events that we have going on. You'll see it on Mobilize as well. If you're familiar with Mobilize, it's where mm-hmm. all the events are on. You know, we're really going to be all across the state trying to do what we can to turn out young people. And it's not only just about young people, you know, it's about just making sure that we turn out people in general.
Mm-hmm.
And while my role right now is very specific to youth organizing, you know, I touch a lot of other just general campaigns, right? And we have a lot of work to do with other campaigns that are not necessarily youth
mm-hmm.
fully focused. You know, maybe they don't have a college in their district, but just getting involved in general is very important. You know, I'm going around the state right now to DECs, clubs, individual donors, telling them about the importance of youth organizing, but it's really about the importance of all organizing. And if you can get out there and organize, then do it, you know, and don't do it just for yourself. Do it for the people that come after you, you know, do it for your family, do it for the cousin that you know that was denied access to an abortion, or, you know, the grandmother that you know that can't afford the cost of living right now mm-hmm. because the legislature's doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
Do it for my grandfather who called me and asked me about, Jaden, can you do something about the fucking property insurance crisis?
Ooh.
And I'm like, Pop, I can't do a goddamn thing. I'm not in the legislature, but I can campaign to make sure that people, you know, the right people get in there.
Yeah.
You know, do it for people like that. And that's where we can really make a lot of change. And back the right candidates for the future. I think there's a lot of good people who are really set up to do a lot of good damage for this state in the next few years. And figuring out who those people are and supporting them and amplifying them, whoever those people are in your mind, you know, support them. Make sure you're there for them. Let them know you're there for them.
Amazing. Well, we have a primary coming up March 19th. I want to encourage everybody to go vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young people.
Yeah.
All you youths, I like saying the youths.
The youths, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Let me ask you a question real quick. What's youth? 25 and younger? 30 and younger?
So for voters, we say 18 to 29.
Okay.
So 18, 29. Does that work?
I remember going to a Broward Young Dems meeting and they're like, you're over 40. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I was like 41. I'm like, this is crazy. Why am I not a Broward Young Dem?
Yeah, it's close enough. Why
but
not?
But 18 to 29, that's a good.
You got a wide range. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the youth.
Yeah, that's the youths right there.
Okay.
The youths, you know, we got to turn out the youths. You know?
I have pink hair because I want to look like the youths.
You're there. Yeah.
But I still have a mortgage and you know what I mean? Like, I don't want.
You know, I pay for rent, you know? Does that make me old, you know?
I mean, it makes you responsible.
Oh, that's great. I'm part of it.
Welcome to adulthood.
Love it. I hate it. I hate paying bills. Screw it. Plus, it's too expensive, man.
Oh,
fuck
my God. It's ridiculous. Yeah. We live in a very expensive place.
Like yeah.
Listen, I love when you come on the podcast.
Yeah.
I think you're a real special person.
Oh, I appreciate
it. I think that's incredible what you've done. We need it. I'm proud of you. There's many people who get turned away and they say, fuck it, I'm out. And you didn't do that. And I know that what you're doing is going to have ripple effects that is going to change what's happening in this state. And we need more people like you and the people on your board, the people who are backing you and giving you donations. Yeah. I implore everybody to do that. If you're not listening in Florida and you want to see change in Florida and you listen, give a dollar for every Florida Man headline you've ever read.
There
How about
go.
That?
Oh shit. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, you're just breaking people up right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. I mean,
you got to mortgage the house at that point. Shit. I could think of like 30 Florida Man headlines from the legislature.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they're all in the legislature.
I could think of like 50 from the Florida Dems in the past few years. You can't do that to them. Hillary, you're breaking the bank.
Oh, my God.
That's not okay.
Oh, my God. Well, I enjoy you. I'm so glad you were here and you came and stopped by.
Of course.
And
of course.
Let's pour some out of our 40 for Tina, who's not here to us. Oh, yeah.
Where's the gossip? Is there any gossip going on before, you know, what's
going
on?
Well, I got gossip, but we got to stop. We got to hit, not record. We're going to take it offline.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, she's got something good. All right. I'm ready for
it. We got juice.
Love it.
I'll give you juice, but we don't. They don't need to know all that juice.
Yeah, they ain't ready for
it. Yeah,
no.
You're not ready for all of it. You're not ready for it.
Love it.
All right. Well, thank you, Jaden.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
If you want to learn more about this week's guest, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have 3 levels of support with exclusive content. Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.